Ibuche Cyberland. It's your favorite Baba Lao. At least I hope so. Or more doing Dileke coming at you. And before I jump into this topic, just want to kind of let you guys know. I went ahead and I opened up a subscription option on this podcast in case you wanted to kind of partake in some great material that I can provide monthly. The idea is to give you patakis on Odun Ifa and Orishas. Give you two patakis, one on an Orisha and one on an Odun Ifa. And if you have a particular preference, you just got to let me know. And I will send you those patakis monthly. The moment you hit the subscription button, the moment it comes through, the moment you get your pataki, and every month after that, for being a loyal subscriber. In addition, your favorite Baba Lao Institute is officially going live. And registration is going to begin September 28th. And we are going to start classes on October 26th. Each class consists of 4 1-hour Zoom calls, right? And it's going to be live, right? Face-to-face on camera. And we're going to go through lessons that are dictated based on what is the need. Now, this particular lesson that I'm going to start on October 26th is based on tying together the Yoruba tradition and cultures on how it relates to us in the diaspora, the Lukumi, how we view how everything has flowed over and how it's manifested, going back from the history of Oduduwa, Chango, when they were kings of Ie-Ife, Oyo, and we're going to get deep dive into the transatlantic slave trade on what manifested, who were the founding fathers. It's going to be a beautiful thing. You guys are going to see. But if you guys are interested, just got to shoot the email. All right. If you guys don't have my email, it's la.regla.de.ifa@gmail.com. That's la.regla.de.ifa@gmail.com. So let's get after it. So I wanted to talk about a concept called Iya Nifa, right? And a lot of people begin to ask me, you know, hey, what do you think about Iya Nifas? And, you know, I told you guys, I don't talk about controversial stuff until I started this podcast. So I said, you know what? I'm going to give it a run for its money now. Right? Because I'm being asked the question, and I think it's important for us to kind of truly understand what is an Iya Nifa. And I'm going to talk to you on a very unbiased, you know, type of manner, right? I'm not trying to take one side or the other. I am diaspora. I am Lukumi. I'm Afro-Caribbean, right? When it comes to Ifa. And let's understand what is an Iya Nifa. Right. Let's start from the beginning. Right. And then I'm going to tell you my perspective. What is Iya Nifa? Right. But the mother that owns Ifa, the mother that has Ifa. Right. And you got to look at that and you got to kind of really dissect that because it's a multifaceted concept. Right. Very controversial. Right. The concept of Iya Nifa. Right. Depending on who you're talking to is twofold. There is the side that I think is completely misinterpreted, which is the side of women who are Ifa priestesses, who are doing sacrifices, who are doing consultations, right? Those folks and those people, that is not permitted. And I'm going to explain to you why, right? And then I'm going to tell you about another Iya Nifa that dates back a very, very long time in Nigeria. And I think this is where we're beginning to merge the concepts. And I think the reason why it's merging, and now we're looking at Iya Nifas that are consulting, they're actually doing Ifa ceremonies and initiations. And that's a very, very dangerous concept. But I'm not here to convince you more than I'm just going to give you the data. And then I'm going to close up with my raw thoughts on the whole concept because I want you guys to think this out with me. Right. So here's something that, you know, that really sparked up my this conversation, other than people, you know, bringing it up to me. I was reading an international journal, right, of social sciences and humanities. And it was written on the Iyan Ifa concept and the Yoruba Ifa spirituality. Right. And I don't want to butcher this name. Right. I really don't. But I'm going to try anyway. Adiyinka Wulimate Olaring Moye is the name of the person who wrote this paper. Right. And hey, it's in the International Journal of Social Science and Humanities Review. OK, now, what is the International Journal of Social Science and Humanities Review? Well, when you kind of really piece it back together, you understand that this is not necessarily it's reputable, right? Because it is part of an African society, right? That just publishes works from African authors, which is beautiful, right? You got to take care of your own. Africa's massive. You know what I mean? You got to start this up, right? But it doesn't necessarily give it a bird's eye view when you talk about Ifa is universal. Ifa is life. Ifa is everything. So when we say that, you can't see it from the lenses of just one scope. And you can tell that this author is a little biased. You know what I mean? She starts out with saying, you know, hey, I'm just trying to understand the specific role of Iyan Ifa. But then she goes on to say, you know, where, you know, it's allowed. And her conclusion is that, you know, this is a good thing. But I think the delineation, I think, wasn't necessarily truly depicted the way it should be. Right. Because her conclusion was what Ifa adherents, especially those in the diaspora, should know is that Ifa accommodates women as much as it does men. And that Iyan Ifas are allowed to use the Ekules in some parts of Yoruba land. Now, you see that part right there? In some parts of Yoruba land. We have a lot of traditional Ishe lineage straight from Nigeria that also has a problem with this. And I'm going to tell you why the Africans in Nigeria, in the original lands of Ile Ife, right? Within Nigeria, within Oyo, within Benin, right? And you're going to begin to understand why I say this. Now, what was the traditional role, right, of an Iyan Ifa, right? Because you got to understand that the original role in the Iyan Ifa was to attend to the Ifas of that temple, right? To attend to the sacred divinities of that temple, right? That was in the Ifa temple, right? So you have the Orumilas of all the elders, and, you know, they start in the mornings and the evenings. They clean up the temple. They do the appropriate sacrifices to Orumila, and they pray and chant, right, when the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. Right. That was a formal role of an Iyan Ifa. In addition, the Iyan Ifa absolutely, you know, was there in order to provide guidance. Right. And provide a feminine aspect to everything. Right. Because Iorumila tells us in the Odus of Ifa that Odu, right, Odu, the divinity, not the Odu, the sign, right, but they're interlinked, right, to a certain point, because Odu, we understand to be the 256 Odus of Ifa, but we also understand who is Odu. We understand that when we look at Odu, right, and we look at it from the lenses of Ifa, we also have a singular divinity. Okay, a singular divinity that is the personification and the feminine spirituality and the principles, right, that complement Orumila, the masculine energy. Okay, you guys, if you heard my YouTube, if you heard me speak, I always speak about the balance of life. You cannot get rid of the balance of life. The moment you tip the scales, you're going down. You're going down hard, Okay, you're going down like somebody that's fighting Mike Tyson at his early prime, right? But before the Holyfield bite. But let's talk about this, right? Let's talk about this. Now, when I talk about the traditional aspects of what Ianifas used to do, right? And then I talk about, well, now we want to use the term that the world is changing and that we're being a little bit more open to the concepts of women being Ifa priestesses. I have a heartburn with that. I have a heartburn with that because, you know, you can change and you can evolve as a human, you know, kind, as a society, as a community. But you can't change the principles of nature. You can't change the principles of what is right and wrong, right? If you follow this faith, the right answer is, listen, women are sacred. What are we doing? They can't go in front of Odu, so therefore they cannot be Ifa priestesses. Because when it's all said and done, Ifa priestesses, right, cannot exist because you have to present yourself in front of Odu in order to become an Ifa priest, because that is where the balance lies. Women, for those of you that may be listening, this is not a feminist, you know, drive. This is not something that I need, you know, to be. I don't want people calling me a woman hater or anything like that, or I'm trying to divide the lines. I'm not trying to divide the lines. In contrary, we value women very much because women carry the connection between this world and the next. Carry the connections from Olorun to here. They give life. They are sacred. No different than Odu, who is considered the feminine, the most feminine divinity, the most powerful of all feminine forces universally, right? So we can't fight nature. That's what I'm basically trying to say, right? This is like saying, hey, go outside, flap your wings, and see if you can fly. All right, you can't fight nature. You can't fight gravity. These are just things that are very, very known and very, very sacred and are foundational to our faith. Stop the Ianifa talk. Stop it, stop it, stop it. And if you hear it, correct it. And if you don't want to correct it, let me correct it. Just got to tell me what you think, because those things are important. Those things are important. Right. And we got to get back to some of those basics. Right. Because historically. Right. And we go back to this paper that was published on the International Journal of Social Sciences and Humanities Review, which means it's public, which means I'm going to talk about it, because if you didn't want me to talk about it, you wouldn't put it out there. Right. So I talked about the author already. Right. I told you where I found it. So just in case anybody's thinking about, hey, let's call them out for plagiarizing or something. No, you put it out there and I gave you credit. So now we're going to poke at it. So when we look at women casting Ifa, right, that's not a thing, you know, and in this particular article or published paper, right, we talk about the aspects of when they begin to use Obe Ifa or Odu Ifa to justify the ends of a means. Understanding very well that we can all take a pataki and we can all dissect it and walk away with a different perception, with a different ethical and moral meaning to that pataki. But you cannot get away from the aspect of this is the bottom line. This is the bottom line. Orumila. Okay, Orumila. When we talk about Odu Ifa, we see Orumila as that masculine energy, the divinity of wisdom, right? And I'm going to tell you a story, right, that you can pretty much kind of get to a little bit and you can kind of understand. Oh, and in this Pataki, we talk about the death of Orumila's wife. And when we look at what was the cause of death, right? I'm just going to share. Let me share the Pataki first, and then we're going to talk about the lesson. In the Pataki, Orumila brought to his home a divinity. And in that divinity lives the secrets of the universe. This divinity was called Odu. Orumila gave Odu shelter in a room. And it was Orumila's job to feed Odu every day, to attend to Odu every day. And what Orumila was doing was feeding and putting the giving the food. And then Odu will put the plates of food and all the offerings that were no longer needed and they were getting discarded outside the door of the room. Orumila gave very strict instructions to his wife. Said, hey, listen, this visitor I have is sacred. This visitor that I have, she has immense power. And you cannot go in that room. It is forbidden. Because in order to maintain life in this house, in this ile, in this world, you can't have two negatives or two positives, however way you want to see it, right? Because Orumila's wife was feminine. Orumila one day had to travel far away in order to preach the good word, right? In order to take care of business like he always did, and told his wife, leave the food by the door. And she did that. Once, she did it twice, and then at one certain point in time, she decided to disobey and open the room, open the door of the room, and walked in to see who exactly keeps leaving all these dishes out here, and she's the one that's responsible for cleaning. And when she walks in and sees Odun, instantly, she dies. She could not handle the sight of Odun because it was not a balance in her life. So let's take a look at this for a little bit, right? What's the theme? What's the lesson of this Pataki? Well, the story serves us, right, as a cautionary tale, right? About the dangers of curiosity, right, without discernment. All right, especially when it comes to sacred and powerful divinities, especially when Orumila, the own divinity of wisdom, is telling us not to do that. Right. And then when we talk about what is disobedience, right, a lot of people don't like that word. Right. They feel like they're being subjective to some form of force or something that's getting taken away from them. And that's not even the case when it comes to spiritual. Right. Or even family type relationships. Orumila's wife was disobedient and it cost her life. This is another reason why we have to be obedient. We just got to be. We got to follow the rules, guys. That's why this Iyanifa concept and just the thought of it just drives me bananas, because that is not something that has true value. It does not connect the dots. Ifa. A wise elder once told me, Ifa is logical. Ifa, everything comes together. In Ifa, it is the universal way on how the laws were written for spirituality. It is what guided humans to do what they had to do. And we find ourselves constantly clashing with the very nature that gives us the guidance that we need. We have personal responsibilities, right? We have personal responsibilities in spiritual matters and physical matters. It doesn't matter. You know, you name it. You have personal responsibilities. Orumila brings this divinity home and the wife's actions led to her demise. Personal responsibility, right? In addition, right? Let's look at the complexities, right, of human emotions and actions. She was curious. She wanted to know why was it that she had to constantly keep cleaning up after this and leave food here, right? And she wasn't content with just doing, which a lot of us can probably agree. We don't just like to do blindly. We don't like to take those leap of faiths in certain areas because we want to understand the why. And sometimes, and a lot of times I would say, the why is important. But now that I'm telling you the why, are we listening? Right? So again, that complexity of human nature has to be understood. We got to be able to understand ourselves and understand why is it that we come up with these weird concepts like Iyanifa. I think this is a very dangerous precedent, because there's no way that an Iyanifa has the power or the insight, right, in order to guide destiny for humans, which is why people trust in Iyanifas now. And I'm very concerned for them, because that Iyanifa that is divining is a Iyanifa that is fraud. It's the bottom line. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm not here to make friends, guys. I told you I was going to be raw with it. And here I am being raw with it. So let me tell you this, or let me ask you about this. There's many Oduns, like Ogunda Meyi, Ogunda Iwuri, right, that talks about betrayal and the consequences of the actions often involved by family members. We are a family. All humans are connected. We are all one. And we have to be able to step up and take care of our community, take care of our spirituality, and lead the charge the right way. I am providing you all with strong evidence on why this is not necessarily the right thing. I will tell you that the title Iyanifa, I already explained, it does exist, but not to the capacity of divination. And Ifa priestess doesn't exist, because in order to make an Ifa priest, you have to present yourself in front of Odu. And even in Nigeria, they understand that. Even in the United States, we understand that. So now you're going to tell me that they just magically now have the foresight and the insight to tap into the universal knowledge to guide mankind, and we're supposed to accept that? I don't think that makes sense. I don't know about you, and I'm not talking for nobody. I'm telling you my thoughts. I'm telling you what's on my mind, right? Because when you talk about who is Odu, right, let's dig into that a little bit, right? Odu is personified, right? Considered a feminine spiritual entity, right? And is also considered the companion of Orumila, right? In this context, I want you guys to understand, Odu is sometimes seen as an embodiment of wisdom that's contained in the divination signs, okay? Odu represents the hidden and revealed aspects of destiny, right? Indispensable, right? In the process of divination, the Ecoles, the Inquines, okay? You cannot divine if you don't have the blessings, and you had not approached and you had not faced Odu in order to get that blessing. And as I just explained, you cannot get away from Odu, right? And if you can't present yourself in front of Odu, you cannot have that wisdom, that embodiment of what people come to you for, right? So let's talk about Odu, right? If Odu is a repository of wisdom and knowledge, right? And Odu is considered the source of Orumila's insight, right? Then we have to look at why. And here it's very simple. Very simple. Let's go back to balance. Odung is seen as the balancing feminine principle to the masculine energy of Orumila. The relationship between Orumila and Odung is described as a sacred union. It's the interconnectedness of wisdom and the vehicle, right, which that wisdom is accessed through, is through Odu. Again, you have to have the balance. So now all of a sudden, we're saying that women can see women and have balance. I just told you, that's not logical. It doesn't work. It just does not work. And we need to be able to understand that. We truly need to understand that. And again, I'm not trying to vent on this, but I am trying to warn people that we have to be very careful about this. There's a lot of taboos. There's a lot of things that are prohibited in both male and female. It's not just women. There's the other concept to this that a lot of people are not realizing. Everybody thinks like, oh, this is just a Bawalao that doesn't like women, or a Bawalao who's stuck in his old ways, or a Bawalao who's not open to the idea. And that's not the case, guys. That's not the case. And if anybody's seen me or been following me on YouTube or anywhere else, and you've seen the things that I put out there, I am very much about change. I'm very much about the evolution of this faith. I'm very much about how we spread the word. I'm not trying to say that there's a patriarchy and women cannot do because it's a man thing. No, I am giving you the facts. I am telling you what this means. I am telling you that this is not acceptable. I am telling you that I'm reading this article and saying that this is not right. But I do recognize that Ianifas do exist, but not to the extent of divination. Not to the extent of divination. So hopefully I left you guys with some good information. Hopefully this right here kind of really truly puts a mark on you so that you can better understand, you know, why we don't do that. No different than why Babalaos don't cast Cori shells. Babalaos do not cast Cori shells, right? That is something reserved for the Olorishas, for the Ocha, right? For Santeros, Santeras. That's reserved for them. That's not reserved for Babalaos. So should I, you know, stand up and say, wait a minute, New Age, we need to change the rules now? No, I'm okay with the restriction because there's sacred texts and sacred rules that support it. That's just another example of things that we just got to be considerate about. Guys, we can't, you know, evolution's important, but we can't go down roads that are going to be very hard to come back from. And that's something I just want to kind of make sure that I share with you. So, you know, from my family to yours, I hope you guys have a fabulous, fabulous day. It's September 9th right now. We're pushing right through fall. 2023 is gone. It came and it's gone, right? So fast, so fast. So hopefully you took something out of this. But again, Iburu Boya, Ibu Cheche Cyberland. Much love to each and every one of you. Don't forget, if you want to subscribe, great, subscribe. If you want to join the subscription podcast, do that, right? So YouTube subscribe, podcast subscriptions. I got the YouTube Your Favorite Bawalao Institute. We got a lot of great things going on in this island. A lot of great things. Super excited. But with that said, Iburu, Iboya, Ibu Cheche, Cyberland.